Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Ever feel like, those financial reports that kind of like written in a secret language? You know, the kind that only Wall Street gets?
Right.
Well, today, we're going to try to decode one of those. We're diving into Wells Fargo's third quarter 10Q report, the one for 2024. And I promise I won't bore you with spreadsheets. What we're going to do is we're going to try to uncover the story that this report tells about one of America's biggest banks. And what their performance might mean for your wallet.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting here is that we're not just going off of, you know, news headline analyst opinions or any of that. We are going straight to the source. The 10Q filing with the SEC, it's like getting a behind-the-scenes look at how the bank is really doing.
That's a great point. It's like looking under the hood. So let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Wells Fargo's issues with regulators. I mean, you've probably seen the headlines about the fines and all the compliance issues. And those stories are definitely reflected in this report.
Absolutely. We see multiple consent orders detailed in the 10Q. There's one from April 2018 with the CFPB and OCC that resulted in a penalty of $1 billion. And then there's another one for $250 million from the OCC in September 2021. And the most recent one was in December 2022, when the CFPB imposed a $1.7 billion penalty. I mean, that's some serious money, even for a bank as large as Wells Fargo.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It seems like they're really trying to clean up their act. But it looks like these efforts are coming at a cost. So I'm kind of curious about the bottom line. Is Wells Fargo thriving, or are they just barely keeping afloat?
Well, their revenue is down slightly if you compare it to last year, which, you know, by itself might not be a huge red flag. But then their net income tells a different story. It's down almost 11% for the quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a significant drop.
So what's driving that decline in net income? Is it all because of those regulatory penalties?
Yeah. Well, the 10Q points to a few key factors. One is the decrease in net interest income with interest rates going up. Banks like Wells Fargo, they're having to pay out more to attract and keep deposits. This might sound kind of familiar to you. It's the same reason why you might be seeing better interest rates on your own savings account lately.
Oh, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to forget that what's happening in the wider economy is reflected in our own finances. Mm-hmm. But even with those higher interest payouts, are they making enough revenue somewhere else to compensate?
Yeah, there are some bright spots. Their commercial banking division is seeing strong growth in deposit-related fees, especially from services they provide to business clients.
So they're making more money.
Yeah.
From providing specialized banking services to companies, even if those companies are having to navigate a complex economic environment themselves. But those penalties are still taking a bite out of their profits, right?
Oh, absolutely. The report very clearly states that operating losses are up, and a big chunk of that increase is due to customer remediation costs related to the, you know, those past issues they're working to resolve.
So it seems like they're in a bit of a catch-22, trying to fix their past mistakes while also facing this pressure to maintain profitability. I'm kind of curious about what's going on. Behind those balance sheets, what kind of assets does Wells Fargo actually hold?
Well, they have a massive portfolio of debt securities, things like U.S. Treasury bonds, mortgage-backed securities, and corporate debt.
So they're essentially lending money to the government and corporations. Is that inherently risky?
Well, it depends. The 10Q highlights that 99% of these securities are rated AA or above. That rating gives us a clue about the creditworthiness of the borrowers.
Okay, so explain this to me like I'm not a financial expert. What does that AA rating actually tell us about the risk involved?
Think of credit ratings like a report card. For borrowers, a rating of AA or above suggests that there's a very low risk of default. These are considered investment-grade securities, meaning they're relatively safe bets, compared to, let's say, junk bonds, which carry a much higher risk of the borrower failing to repay.
So they're playing it relatively safe. With those investments, makes sense given all the other challenges they're facing. But what about the loans they're giving out? Directly to businesses and individuals. Who are they betting on?
That's where things get really interesting. Their loan portfolio breakdown gives us some insights into their lending strategy. On the commercial side, they're heavily invested in more traditional sectors, like manufacturing, energy, and agriculture, rather than just focusing on, let's say, tech startups or the latest trends.
So they're sticking with the backbone of the economy, even in an era of rapid technological change. I wonder if that's a sign of their overall risk appetite, especially given all their recent regulatory troubles.
Yeah.
What about consumer loans, the kind of stuff that directly affects our listeners? What's happening there?
That's where things get a bit more personal. We're talking mortgages, credit cards, auto loans, the types of credit that most people rely on. And the trends we see in this part of the 10Q can give us valuable insights into the financial health of everyday Americans.
All right. I'm ready to dive into those trends. What can Wells Fargo's 10Q tell us about how people are borrowing and spending?
This section of the report is really interesting. It's like a window into the financial habits and challenges of everyday Americans. We see data on mortgages, credit card balances, auto loans, all those things that are part of modern life that often involve borrowing money.
So what's the big picture? Are consumers borrowing more or less than before? Are they struggling to make payments? What's the overall health of consumer credit, at least from Wells Fargo's perspective?
The 10Q provides some interesting clues. For example, we see that mortgage originations are down from last year, which is probably due to those rising interest rates we talked about earlier. But the average mortgage balance is actually up. This suggests that fewer people are buying homes right now, but those who are taking out mortgages are borrowing larger amounts.
That's interesting. It makes sense, though. Given how much the cost of housing has gone up in many parts of the country, it seems like even those who can get a mortgage are having to stretch their finances further. What about credit card debt? That always feels like a canary in the coal mine for the economy.
Yeah, it's true. Credit card debt can be a good indicator of consumer confidence and spending habits. And what we see in the 10Q is kind of a mixed bag. On the one hand, credit card balances are up slightly from last year, which might suggest that people are relying more on credit to cover their expenses.
That's not really a reassuring sign. Does the report give us any insights to why credit card balances might be rising?
It doesn't give us any specific causes, but we can connect this data to the broader economic trends. Inflation has been hitting consumers pretty hard, and the rising prices for things like food and energy might be forcing people to use their credit cards more to make ends meet.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a reminder that even a strong economy could have hidden pockets of financial strain. Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about risk management. Every bank has to walk this tightrope between making a profit and protecting itself from potential losses. How is Wells Fargo approaching this delicate balance, especially given their recent history?
That's a really important question, and the 10Q offers some valuable insights into their risk management strategy. One key area is their focus on interest rate risk, you know, how changes in interest rates could impact their earnings.
Right, we talked about that earlier in terms of how rising rates are affecting their net interest income. But how are they actually managing that risk?
Oh, they're definitely not leaving things to chance. The report outlines a bunch of strategies they're using to try to mitigate interest rate risk, for example. They're using derivatives, which are financial instruments that let them hedge against potential losses if interest rates move in a bad direction.
So they're using some pretty sophisticated financial tools to try to control their exposure to interest rate fluctuations. But what about those big portfolios of mortgage-backed securities that they hold? Aren't those super sensitive to interest rate changes?
You're absolutely right. Mortgage-backed securities, which are basically bundles of mortgages packaged and sold as investments, can be really vulnerable to interest rate swings. If rates go up, the value of those securities can go down, which could lead to losses for the bank.
So how are they managing that particular risk?
Well, the 10Q says that they're actively managing that risk.
Yeah.
Through different strategies, including hedging and adjusting what their holdings are made up of.
It sounds like they're trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
Between making money and minimizing risk,
yeah.
Which makes sense,
yeah.
Considering all the scrutiny they're under. But it's not just interest rate risk they have to worry about, right? What about the risk of people defaulting on their loans?
That's a big concern for any bank. And it's something Wells Fargo addresses in the 10Q. They have all these models and systems to assess credit risk, taking into account factors like credit scores, income levels, and debt-to-income ratios.
So they're trying to predict Which borrowers are most likely to repay their loans? But even with the best models, there's always a chance of unexpected losses.
Of course. No model is perfect. And there are things that are out of the bank's control that can affect how loans perform. The economy could take a downturn, unemployment could go up, or there could be unexpected events like natural disasters that impact borrowers' ability to repay.
It's a constant balancing act, trying to manage all these different types of risk. Now, in addition to financial risks, there's also the threat of cyber attacks, data breaches, and other operational risks.
Yeah.
How is Wells Fargo dealing with these challenges?
Cybersecurity is a huge concern for any financial institution, especially in today's digital world. The 10Q highlights the investments Wells Fargo is making in cybersecurity infrastructure, employee training, and incident response planning to try to protect the bank and its customers from cyber threats.
So it seems like they're really trying.
Yeah.
To protect their systems and data. But no system is perfect, right?
That's right. The cyber threat landscape is constantly changing, and even the best security measures can be bypassed. Wells Fargo acknowledges this in the 10Q, saying that even with all their efforts, they can't guarantee that they'll be able to prevent all cyber attacks or data breaches.
It's like a reminder that in the digital age, we're all vulnerable to some extent. Now, let's talk about another aspect of banking, liquidity. This basically means a bank's ability to meet its financial obligations as they come due. How is Wells Fargo doing in this area?
Liquidity is crucial for a bank's stability, and it's definitely something regulators watch closely. The 10Q sheds some light on Wells Fargo's liquidity position, and it shows that they have a good cushion of liquid assets on hand.
So they have enough cash. And assets they can easily convert to cash to handle their short-term obligations, even if there's a sudden increase in withdrawals or some other unexpected event. But they're not just sitting on a bunch of cash, are they? They have to use that capital to generate profits.
Absolutely. Managing liquidity is all about finding that balance between having enough cash available to meet obligations while also using that capital to earn returns.
It's a complex juggling act, but it seems like Wells Fargo is managing it well, at least for now. Now we can't talk about banking without talking about the regulatory landscape. Banks have to follow a lot of regulations, and those regulations are constantly changing. What does the 10Q tell us about the regulatory scrutiny Wells Fargo is facing and how those regulations might be affecting their decisions?
The 10Q gives us a look into all the regulations surrounding Wells Fargo, like you mentioned earlier. They're still working on those past regulatory issues, and the report goes into detail about the steps they're taking to improve their compliance and risk management practices.
So they're under a microscope, and they know it. But besides those specific issues they're trying to fix, are there any bigger regulatory trends that are shaping how they operate?
One big trend is the increasing focus on consumer protection. Regulators are paying more attention to how banks are treating their customers, especially when it comes to things like fees, disclosures, and data privacy.
That makes sense. Considering all the data breaches and privacy concerns lately, how is Wells Fargo responding to this increased focus on consumer protection?
The 10Q highlights several things they've done to be more transparent and give customers more control over their financial data, for instance. They have new tools that let customers track their spending, set alerts, and manage their account preferences online.
So it seems like they're trying to balance meeting regulatory requirements with providing a good customer experience. But as we've seen, there's always that risk that they might not do enough, which could lead to more scrutiny and maybe even penalties.
You're right. The regulatory landscape is always changing, and banks like Wells Fargo have to adapt quickly to stay compliant. The 10Q shows that they're keeping an eye on how regulations are developing and changing their policies and procedures accordingly.
It's a good reminder that even in finance, being able to adapt quickly is really important for success.
Exactly. Being able to anticipate and adapt to regulatory changes is crucial for any bank that wants to do well in this environment.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today in our deep dive into Wells Fargo's 10Q. We've talked about their financial performance, their risk management strategies, the regulatory scrutiny they're under, and even what their report tells us about the bigger economy. So let's take a step back and think about all this information. What are the key takeaways our listeners should remember?
Yeah, it really has been a fascinating look. I mean, these reports, they can be pretty intimidating, but they offer so much information once you understand how to read them.
That's so true. So for someone who doesn't spend their days reading 10Qs, what are the main things they should take away from this one?
Well, one thing that really stood out to me was this balancing act Wells Fargo is in. They're trying to move past those regulatory problems, manage risk in this crazy economy, and still make a profit, it's not easy.
It's like they're trying to sail a ship through a hurricane.
Yeah.
And we saw them trying to do that. In everything from how they're investing to how they're dealing with cybersecurity and consumer protection.
Exactly. And the choices they make have a big impact. Wells Fargo is a huge player in the financial system, so their decisions about lending, interest rates, and risk management affect businesses and people all over the country.
It's crazy how connected everything is. What happens with a bank like Wells Fargo doesn't just stay in their offices, it affects all of us.
For sure. And this 10Q doesn't just show us where they are now, it also gives us some clues about where they might be going. That question is, what will be their priority this year? Will it be staying stable and following the rules? Or will they try to be more aggressive to get more market share and make more money?
It's a tough choice. So what's something our listeners should really think about after this deep dive?
I would ask them to imagine. What if they were in charge of Wells Fargo? With all these challenges and opportunities, what would be their top priority? Would they try to simplify things or expand into new markets? Or maybe focus on customer relationships? Because ultimately, even those big decisions affect the financial world we all live in.
That's a great point to end on. So there you have it, folks, a look inside Wells Fargo's 10Q. It's been an interesting journey. And as always, we encourage you to keep learning, keep asking questions, and stay informed. We'll see you next time.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.